Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. And it is a Whiteout Wednesday and a playoff week. Whiteout Wednesday with Jason Avant, sponsored by Walnut Street Smiles at Chestnut Dental Studio, part of the Dudat Dental Group, official dentist of the Philadelphia Eagles. Jason, how you doing, man?
Jay Boogie. I'm great. I can. Man, you know what? I'm excited.
It's playoff week,
time.
Yeah.
Good seeing you, gentlemen. Yeah, it's good times.
Well, we're excited to talk to you and excited for this matchup. So, first thought, when you saw the way the bracket fell over the weekend, what was your first thought, Eagles-Niners?
You know what? First thought, you're like, dude, I don't want to go against Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
That's the first thought that comes to your brain.
Yeah, he's a smart coach.
But when you start to break down the film, and I've been doing that, you know, for the, you know, the past few days, they have some deficiencies, especially on defense. And most people will, you know, talk about that. In the run game, they have some problems, some challenges. A lot of times, they don't cover the center or the guards at times. In Seattle, they did that multiple times where they're in this wide front where they're expecting pass. And it's on the first and second down. So the Eagles can make some yards with quarterback sneaks, not sneaks, but quarterback design runs and or dives up the middle. So you have your guards free to be able to double team up into that Mike linebacker. And their defense is designed to have Fred Warner. When you don't have him, because he's what you call like a war daddy, a dude that's just going to beat his one-on-one block, even if it's a center.
Right.
He does that often, and when you don't have him in there, they're compromised.
All right, so let's talk about expectations for the offense. You mentioned some spots you think they could have success. They haven't scored against good defenses. They haven't scored against playoff defense, right? The numbers this year, when they play teams that made the playoffs, 16.7 points per game. I said on Monday, 24. I want 24 points on Sunday against this Niners defense. Hugh kind of was with me, but he was throwing some
21.
Caution.
21.
Can they get to 24? Should they get to 24?
That's where you need to be, right? So the team. So when you break this down, 24 points a game will put them at the number 14th scoring offense in the league, right? And that's 14 teams that are in the playoffs, right? So you need to be at that baseline. 24 points is where you need to be. And guess what? There's only been three teams this year that have scored more than 24 points against the Eagles defense.
So that's the number.
That's the number. So I think you're perfect when it comes to that number.
Say, Hugh, 24.
No, I mean, I hear you. And I conceded 24, but 21 is where they flirt with 21 a lot. They flirt with 21 a lot.
But if we're flirting with 21, we're flirting with, like, it's a tight game in the fourth quarter, and I'm biting my nails.
How about this? I'll make a compromise. We scored 21 in the first two halves, and then give us three in the second half.
Yeah, give us three with 2 minutes.
I mean, that's probably how it's going to go.
Yeah.
So. When you think about this game, I mean, because I don't know how you've watched it, but how do you think it's going to play out? As far as, you know, I feel like the Eagles are going to win. I'm going to put that out there first. But do you feel like it's more of a blowout, or if it's more of a tight situation?
It's going to be a tight game, but I don't think we have the capability to blow out this team. You know, even though we may have some yards running, they have some guys that are unproven, like Renardo Green on the back end covering A.J. Brown and sorts, right up to, you know, Stout, like their nickel guy. There's guys that we can attack. But when it comes to their offense, they do a lot of things. And our defense is good, but they can play avoiding Quinyon. And most teams can't. They can totally shut Quinyon out of this game and have no impact. The reason is they play the game in between the numbers. And when you play the game in between the numbers, guys are always outside in their leverages. You're able to manipulate that flat defender and get them out of the space fast enough so you can throw a slant inside of it. You're able to get to the safeties faster, and your receivers are always in this tight splits. And they play the game with Christian McCaffrey, Juszczyk, Kittle. These guys you don't have to have, you know, great corners to win in that situation, right? Right. So they can go against your safeties and your linebackers and put those guys in compromising positions. So they can play the game not throwing a ball at Coop or Quinyon and be successful.
That's pretty remarkable, because most teams can't do that, and the Eagles take advantage of that. All right, so when you think about the matchup, Shanahan, Fangio. I mean, who has the advantage? I mean, to me, they're two of the best maybe ever to do what they do on each side of the football. It feels like that's going to be the story going in the game. Who can get the best of the other one?
Yeah, Shanahan has come out and saying that it's a nightmare, you know, multiple times over his career playing against, you know, Vic Fangio. And do I think that with this, the way that our defense is, is playing, do I think that we match up very well against this team? But it depends on our defensive line play. Hmm. They're going to do a lot of things to us that the Bears did, meaning that they're going to try to have a tight end, a receiver of some sorts, manipulate the defensive end backside, hold him so he can gain a man.
This is a huge thing, yeah.
They do that a bunch. So it all depends on how our defensive ends play and how our defensive tackles play. If we can dominate the front, it'll be a game where we can win soundly. Do I still think it's a blowout? No. Do I think that'll be a 24-10 type of, or 24-17 type game? Yeah. But like, so I think that's one of the biggest issues is how we deploy our defense against their run game.
And Hugh, you've been on the edges though for a while now.
Yeah, I basically said, Jason, that I feel like if there's a game to be had, because last week I feel like the game that we played, most teams try to run between the tackles or try to get that game being in the tackles. The ends, for me, and you, I know you watch a lot more film, but the ends, to me, have been playing a lot more undisciplined. They're not checking backside as much as they have in the past. And I always felt like that was where you could attack this team,
yeah,
is if you get that perimeter play from them.
Yeah, and this team will do that because they have so many smoke and mirrors. They go in motion a lot, and then after the ball is snapped, there's things that are designed to manipulate that defensive end. It's going to test his patience,
yeah,
see if you can get that toss crack, see if you can get that jet sweep around, see if you can get that guy to influence, right? So, but here's the thing. They have – Their core guys, all of them are sold out when it comes to run blocking. They're sold out when it comes to it. Juwan Jennings, as good as of a run blocker as you can get from the receiver position. George Kittle, as good as of a tight end run blocking as you can get. Both their backup tight ends are great at run blocking. Juszczyk is great, right? So all of their main core guys, they're designed to get to have explosive runs. So we have to be very, very disciplined for our defensive ends. And we're going to have tight end matchups at times. The reason Hassan Reddick got moved out of here is because he couldn't win his one-on-ones against tight ends at times.
Right.
Jalen Phillips has to be that guy, him and Jalix Hunt, to control this run game.
Jason Avant with us. It is Wideout Wednesday. Can we hear, this is something you kind of spoke to this. I heard Richard Sherman yesterday talking about this on his podcast, about how he thinks Shanahan, and he played for him for a little bit, is going to try to attack the Eagles defense. Here's Richard Sherman.
They're well coached. They're going to be disciplined. And I don't think Jalen Carter, Noah Smith, and Dave, Jordan Davis are elite players. They're going to be problems for this offensive line. But if they can get them blocked, they don't have the same depth that the Seattle Seahawks had. The Seattle Seahawks can rotate a lot of good guys. I don't think they have that kind of depth. And if Brock Purdy has time to pass, I think he has a field day with this secondary. I love Quinyon Mitchell. I love Cooper DeJean. I think they both made the Pro Bowl this year. Really good players. I think there are places in this defense Kyle Shanahan will feel comfortable attacking, and we'll see.
All right, so it's kind of what you were saying, the way I heard it. And what do you think about Purdy? Because Purdy is such an interesting quarterback in that he's been super productive since he became their quarterback, right? Took him to a Super Bowl, NFC title game. But there's always a little bit like, is he really that good? When you watch Purdy, how good do you think he is? And do you agree with Richard that if he has time, he's going to make plays?
Well, so Purdy is a good quarterback. He's a really good quarterback, and he knows this system. And he gets the ball out when he sees it. And it's tight window throws.
It's over the middle a lot, too.
You know, because in this offense, you have to be able to read the defense. You have to trust it because, remember, you're dealing in tight spaces. Everyone is packed in the middle because that's where you're lining up. So you have to be able to – you have to know exactly when a guy's about to move out of his spot. And he knows that. And it tells you a lot about Kyle Shanahan's trust. And it – this will be a hard offense for Jalen to run.
Mm.
And I'm not coming at Jalen. I'm just saying.
Different kind of offense.
What they're asking Purdy to do is
something that's not at You're throwing in tight windows. You're talking about anticipation throws. That's what it sounds like you're saying to me.
It's anticipation throws. It's believing that your guy is going to win based on his leverage and the defender is not moved yet. It's a bunch of those things. And Purdy does it at an extremely high level. So he's a very good quarterback. Now, To get to what Richard Sherman said, I'm not worried about Quinyon on Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, Kendrick Bourne. any of their receivers. That's not a matchup for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, none of these guys are guys that he's facing in his caliber. None of those guys are. But here's the thing. They won't be going against him. That you may get some Coop reps because Coop is going to have to be in there because they play 21 personnel and Coop is they're not going to put, N'Kobe Dean, Zach Bond, and, Jahi Campbell. Sure. They're not going to keep them on the field all the time. So you want Coop in the game.
Right.
So Coop is going to have to win a matchup against Juszczyk or win a matchup against Kittle, blocking him. So we want him in the game. So if we want him in the game, he's going to be in there in passing situation. And I trust Coop in that situation. But do I trust them when it comes to Epps? Do I trust him?
The safeties feel like a big part of this, yeah.
Mm. Do I trust him against a one-on-one with Jahi Campbell? Because that's what they're going to try to do.
So, Richard was mentioning the Seahawks game. Now, the Niners were on a heater before this past weekend, right? They were averaging like 30-something points a game. Yeah. They went up against Seattle, and Seattle totally shut him down. What did you make of that, and can we do something similar? Because, you think about the best defense in the league. It's probably Seattle, Texans, Eagles, Broncos. Like, we're in that class. Was that a one-off, or can the Eagles... Can they shut this down?
The Eagles can do it because here's the thing that's kind of encouraging. When you look at the Seahawks and the way they play defense, they're a cover four base team. Who else is a cover four base
Eagles.
Team? Eagles. Eagles are. Yeah. Right? They have great corner play on the outside and their guys are doing a good job. So the thing that the Seahawks can do is they do have a great rotation with DeMarcus Lawrence and the guys up front. And so their defensive line was able to get after it. They were able to send some pressure, some things that we don't normally do. And they play a little bit more coverage when it comes to cover two. They're in that a little bit more. And I think that they knew their concepts. Their defensive backs understood exactly what they were doing on the back end. It's a film study game for us to be able to see. There are some tail tendencies, right, for the Niners. The Niners play the game in between the numbers. When they go outside of the numbers, it's usually in a second and long, third and long. Mm. So you can expect pass in those situations. If they line up outside of those numbers with one of their guys, when it comes to Ricky Pearsall, they're trying to get him the ball, Juwan Jennings. If they line him out there on first or second down, it's going to be a pass. And the Bears are able to pick off one on the first play because they broke that, they saw that tendency. Mm-hmm. So there's things that we can do in order to dominate this defense, especially they have a lot of tails because of how they play football.
How good is McCaffrey still? I mean, 2 years ago, he was incredible. Then he got hurt last year. They've given him the ball a lot this year. To me, it's been less explosive in the run game. He doesn't run off those 50 yarders anymore. But to me, every time I watch, it's like 25 touches. I mean, he's the offense.
Well, there's no... He's still the same player. Teams have figured it out. Mm. Sort of like Saquon. Him and Saquon are the same. They're the same players. It's just that teams are starting to figure out what they're doing when it comes to running the football. But he's just as potent in the pass game. They get a lot of yards from checkdowns. A ton of yards because they get guys in the middle of the field running off the safeties and they check the ball down to Christian McCaffrey and McCaffrey runs for 12, 15 yards.
Because he's running everybody off.
They run everyone off. So that's something that we have too. And he's just as important in the pass game. Him and Juszczyk catch slants. They catch in-breaking routes. They catch corner routes. They catch stops. They're just important. And that's how you know Brock Purdy is a good quarterback is because anybody on the field can get the ball at any time.
Mm.
Distributes it to everybody.
Anybody on the field
feels
can
like
get
the challenges
ball.
The defense. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you don't know where the ball's going.
Anybody can get the ball.
Yeah. All right. 215-592-9494. Jason in with us for the 11 o'clock hour. All right. Let's talk about the other side of the ball too, which is the Niners' defense, which is struggling. Let's hear Shiel Kapati. He was on the morning show, and he framed this defense in a way that really stood out to me when he said it. Here's Shiel with the morning show.
No, they're a good team. They're not a great team offensively. They are very good, but we saw in that game against the Seahawks that. When they go up against a great defense, they can be shut down. So that was kind of an illuminating game. Before that game, they had just been going up and down the field on opponents, and it was kind of a shock when they didn't score a touchdown. Now, defensively, not just bad. I would argue one of the worst in the NFL right now when you look at the personnel that they're working with. They lost all their best players. Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, their first-round pick, all these guys went down with injuries. They're starting kind of practice squad guys at linebacker. And so if you can't move the football against this defense, you really don't deserve to move on.
That's when he said that, one of the worst defense in the NFL, Jason, and if you can't move the ball against this defense, you don't deserve to move on. I mean, I looked at their depth chart. I mean, I don't even know who some of these guys are, Jason. They're running out there at defense right now.
So you're going to have guys out there. There's no Fred Warner. They're down to their third. But and that third linebacker now is a guy that we is Eric Kendricks. Eric Kendricks is a good player. It's just that he hadn't been playing as much, right? So you're down there when it comes to their corners, their corner situation. They have D'Amador Lenore, that he's a really good player. But outside of that, they're just surviving.
Mm-hmm.
They're surviving on defense. And you can tell because the defense is designed a certain way and they don't have their guys out there. This defense is never going to be the same when Bosa's not playing. Because Bosa is one of those guys that can be the defensive player of the year at any time. And you don't have that sack production. You're depending on Bryce Huff. We know how that goes. That can be anything, right? So it can be no sacks in a year and no tackles. Or it can be, you know, eight or whatever it may be. So there's a lot of ways to get after this defense. But here's the thing. We don't have a great offense.
Well, that's for sure. So, all right, is the way to do it on Sunday to run the ball at them? Or is this a day the Eagles throw the ball?
Well, I think you can do either. They're bottom half when it comes to most stat categories on defense. So you can definitely attack Renardo Green, number zero for them on the outside. The other thing that you can do is try your best to get the ball in between the guards. Because if they're not going to cover the center, we have to be able to devise a run scheme where we're shooting right up the middle, whether that's the quarterback, whether that's Saquon. And then they have wide nine principles on the outside. Mm. So there's ways that you can make that guy even wider. When a team plays wide nine and you line up a tight end to a side, he goes even further. So there's ways to position your tight ends, your receivers, in a way that creates lanes for the running back. So I think this is a run game. Don't give a damn about what A.J. Brown is talking about. Don't care about it. This is playoff time. You can't make the Pro Bowl. There's no stats that really matter but wins. Do what you do best when it comes to this team. Try your best to establish a run game and get the ball and don't allow Jalen to throw the ball more than 25 times.
You know what? And that's the formula that I recall it being damn near every year in the playoffs. Like, you have some outliers, you know, when you throw the ball a whole lot. But every playoff game that I've ever been in, I kind of recall the running game being a huge factor.
Yeah.
In a win or a loss.
We need it.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you have to be able to run the ball, control the clock, and play keep away. I mean, that's kind of how I look at this.
Where did you come down on the decision they made to rest? And do you think it's going to make a meaningful difference, right? That let's use the offensive line, right? Because we're on the run game, that they got a full week off. Meanwhile, the Niners played, right? They were trying for the one seed. They played.
Yeah.
Did you support the decision? We had debate last week, and then that debate spun into this week, Jason, because obviously if the Eagles had won the game, they'd be the two seed. They didn't do that because, you know, whatever, the backups were the way they called the game. They didn't win. What did you make of it, and do you think it's going to make a difference for this weekend?
Well, so I support the decision.
Yeah, right? I thought it was the right thing to do.
So here's the reason. You're going against a third-string quarterback yourself, right, when it comes to Commanders.
Yeah.
I think Tanner McKee can be the third-string quarterback any day of the week because I thought Tanner McKee was a guy that will position himself as a possible starter in this league, right? So I'm like, okay, we have the advantage when it comes to that. And the Eagles were in position the entire game. Now, what that game did was kind of expose Kevin Petullo. That's what that game kind of
did. He's been on that.
It exposed them because now you're looking at it like, dude, Tanner always plays well. And we threw the ball 40 times with Tanner when Tank is out there.
Why did they do that?
Thank you for doing that, because when I was saying he was talking about, I was harping on the wrong thing.
Well, no.
He almost stood up yesterday.
So I did almost stand up. But, happens once a month or
but
so.
But we're piercing them in the run game with Tank. And we don't continue down that path. Multiple times, we had a situation where we had a first and 10, we get 9 yards, and then we pass it two more times, and we punt.
Well, the two times in the red zone before the end of the first half.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to you. So, with that being said, we should have won the game with the guys that we had deployed, and I don't think we're even having this conversation. But, you know, hindsight is always going to be 20-20. He chose the rest of his players, and here's the thing. Green Bay can beat Chicago. And we still have two home games.
And they could. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Jason with us for another segment. Let's talk about the other playoff games, what Jason thinks will happen, and how this whole playoff field works through. And the Lane Johnson situation. Is he playing on Sunday? And if he's not, how big of a deal is that? We'll get to that with Jason. Sirianni's press conference coming up around the top of the hour. We'll have that for you as well. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.